You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm only going to hit one story. And it's a somewhat unusual story for me because I do occasionally do technology stories. It's not that common. It's usually only if something's really breaking. Usually if it's one of these rollout events, I definitely cover it. This is something that you may or may not be familiar with. I was, until preparing for this show, familiar with it, but really not that familiar because you've heard it in the news, but you're probably going, what it's really about. And I need to give a little background information about what I'm talking about, as well as what is the breaking story about it. Now, to listen to this show, but before I do that, to listen to this show, you have to go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S, .wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to my last roughly 60 shows. And below that, you have a complete archive of all my shows. So that's how you listen to this program if you're not listening to it right now. And most of my listeners, more than 99%, listen to it via podcast, and where they can either download the whole program, the whole show, or they can stream it. And I think it's about, I don't know the numbers, but a lot of people just stream it. They sit at their computer when they have time and listen to the show. My show is having a somewhat of a schedule change. We were normally doing a show, a daily show, 1 hour show from 4 to 5, Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday, my weekend wrap-up show, which is from 3 to 5. However, because this is a college radio station, a web radio station, we have other students that have shows, and we've had already a scheduling problem. So it looks like on Monday and Wednesdays, the show will be from 2 to 3, and it'll be 1 hour show sharp because I have a meeting at 3 o'clock that I need to attend. We had another student that, because of his schedule, needed the 4 to 5 time period. So I was a nice guy and said, okay. But the rule is if you miss 3 shows, you're out of here, and I would get my time slot back. So I'm kind of alerting you to the schedule that is subject to change. And I've been here before where students are very eager in the beginning of the semester, but usually 4 to 5 weeks in, suddenly they start not showing up because they realize it takes preparation to do a radio show, especially a talk radio show. Now, a lot of students do actually do music shows, which with very, very limited commentary. And that's fine to get your feet wet, but you're really not going to get a job in radio doing that because disc jockeys, there's still some out there, but more and more what the stations do that do music, whatever their format, that it's computer programmed, and that's just the reality. Yes, there are still people that I would call a disc jockey that plays the records, but they're a dying breed, so there's really not much future in it. Now, I can understand if you're feeling your way into this industry initially. A lot of people, that's where they got their start, but that's no longer a career path, especially if you're trying to make it in commercial radio. Unless you're really terrific, sorry, it's just not going to work out. And it's what's funny about it, I listen to a number of talk show hosts, several of them that are local, several of them national. And one of the common characteristics of many of these talk show hosts is they're no longer disc jockeys. Yet, you get a sense that at one time in their career, that's what they did, and many of them did, because they'll go on and on and on about music, some of it 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, and they're somewhat dating themselves, and the problem is many of their listeners don't know what they're talking about, and that's a problem, because music that I really enjoyed when I was in college, as well as in my 20s, 30s is not popular today, other than there are stations dedicated to it. And many of the former disc jockeys were invited in by the station manager or the director of programming and basically said, starting Monday, you either give a talk show or you don't have a job because we've changed our format. We're going to a talk format. We're not doing music anymore. And many of them left the profession, did something else. There are few around. The survivors, if you will, I can think of two, one in the morning here in Dallas and one in 12 to 4 in the morning. Charlie Jones, who gives an excellent show between 12 and 4, used to for many, many years. That's what he did. He worked on another station that was rock and roll. I think it's K-Cliff was the station. I might be wrong on that one. And the same thing with Mark Davis, who has the morning show from 7 to 10 on 660. He also, you can tell, was the disc jockey at one time because he'll start talking about various albums and music, and that's fine. But you see, Here's what I have, and we've had students with this problem. If I'm interested in rock and roll, I want to listen to the music. I really don't want to hear someone talking about the music. And the same thing with sports. If I'm interested in sports, I want to watch the event, whether it's a basketball game or a football game. I really don't want to hear commentary on it. Now, some people want to listen to people that either write or talk about their local sports team. That's fine, but that's not why most people listen to talk radio. Because if they're really interested in the sport, yeah, they'll go to the local station that specializes in that. They really don't want to hear it in their, what I would call strictly talk radio, where people are commenting about or giving their opinion on breaking news. That's a rather long introduction to today's story, and I want to welcome all the students back. This is the first day of the spring semester. We have a lot of new students on campus that are trying to find where the classrooms are. That's why the first edition of the Richland Chronicle had a map of the campus. I hope it's been useful. I invariably, usually during the first week, someone will ask me in the hallway, could you tell me where this building is? So I said, well, show me the registration statement. And it usually has Richland College and then the building abbreviation. And I wish they didn't have Richland College. If they just had the abbreviation, I think most of the students could figure it out, because it'll just have like a D for Del Rio, or a E for El Paso, or a T for Thunder Duck. Well, that makes sense if you've been to the campus and know the campus and have classes in it. But for new people, they don't have a clue as to what that means. And that's really a shortcoming of the registration statement. But I want to welcome all new students as well as returning students. And I also want to give a plug for the Richland Chronicle. We had our first, actually it's our third staff meeting, preparing the next issue. I hope to have an article in the next issue that I wrote, and I also probably will be writing an article on what I'm talking about today, because what we do is usually on our Wednesday meetings, we'll critique the paper, because we are human and mistakes are made, and we made a few mistakes in the second issue, and that's always good, and you always want to improve. Self-criticism or critique, that's how you learn. You learn through your mistakes. Now, once you make a mistake, you don't want to repeat them. It's very, very good for all the students as well as the advisors to go around the table, which we did today, because we had the paper was ready for today. It's being, a matter of fact, it's just been distributed to all the stands that we have around the campus. But I want to really give a plug. We're looking for new writers, new photographers, as well as people that are expert in layout of a paper. In other words, know InDesign. You don't have to know InDesign. We'll teach you how to do that. But if you're interested in laying out print material, the newspaper, please stop by the student media office where we have our Richland Chronicle meeting. We will have our second meeting Wednesday at 3:00. So if you missed today's meeting, come Wednesday at 3:00, because we always need new people. And it's not just print. If you want to for example, present a radio show. That's available to all registered students. You don't have to be a student media, or you don't have to be a journalism major, even a mass communications major. As long as you're a student, if you'd like to present a radio show, let's say once a week, that's how I started. I gave a one-hour show once a week. Now, as I've gotten better and better, I've really improved when I started my daily show, because that forces me every week to prepare a show. And when I came to campus today, I really did not know what I was going to talk about. I really did not know. So I went to Drudge, and if you're not familiar with Drudge, if you're in the news business, journalism business, talk radio business, the one site they all go to is the Drudge Report. That's thedrudgereport.com. And I encourage students as well as staff to do that, because he will have what's the breaking news stories. And he literally scans newspapers across the world for what is the story that's breaking, what's interesting. And based on many of his choices, you'll find, especially in talk radio, but also in the print journalism as well, people giving their opinion on the leading stories today. Now, this story was at first I was suspicious of it. I need to say that right off, because now the story is about an individual, actually him and his wife live in went to a movie theater in Columbus, Ohio. I used to live, near Dayton in Fairborn. When I was in the Air Force, that's where Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is. I lived in Fairborn, which is right next to Dayton. But if you continued up the road north, you would eventually get to Columbus, Ohio. As a matter of fact, when I was piloting, what I would do on the weekends when I was attempting to get my private pilot license, I would fly. One time I flew to I didn't fly into Columbus. I flew north out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I forget where I was going. It was not Springfield. That's where I usually did touch and goes. But it was a cross country. It was about a two-hour flight there and about a two-hour flight back. So I arrived there, landed successfully, took a break, got in the plane, and took off. And I made a mistake, and I got lost. I didn't change the... I don't want to get into... Make a long story short, when I was flying back, and I was... I was doing... What do they call it? I had certain check spots going over... I was flying visual. I wasn't flying instruments. I wasn't checked out on instruments. But we had an instrument that... And I forget, it's been so long... That would tell you, should you go to the right or left, okay? Well, I had misdialed in where I wanted to go. And when it was telling me, it kept on telling me, go left, go left, go left. Well, it should have been telling me, go right, go right, go right, because I really screwed up here. So I got totally, nothing was making sense. So I finally, if you've ever been a student pilot, you know this, they teach you, confess your problem, communicate and confess your problem. So I got on the air, gave my call sign, said I'm a student pilot, I'm lost, I need a vector into Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now the point of the story is I was flying over Columbus, Ohio. I was really off course is what I'm trying to say. So people do get lost. And this is a perfect segue into what I'm talking, a story that caught my attention, and that is Google Glass. Now, you've probably heard for the last, 2 years, roughly 2 years, going on 2 years, about Google Glass, and you probably don't know that much about it. I would say if you had asked me prior to the prep, I would say, well, that's where you can see a computer screen to the right of your, if you were wearing glasses, sort of in the corner of your eye, and it would give you information, just like on a computer screen, but much smaller, obviously. And it's still being developed. It's a prototype right now. But really, there are a number of things you can do with it. One being you can take a picture if you like. You can take a video, like a 10-minute video. You can make a phone call, conversation on it. What's really, I would say, the number one thing you can do with it, and remember, it's related to Google, if you want directions. So if you're flying a plane or driving a car, if you have Google Glass, if you got glass, you can ask it, you know, please give me instructions to wherever you want to go. Now, it's really designed for if you're in a car or you're walking. I don't think they have it perfected yet or three-dimensional in terms of flying, but it could be used in that because they have some promotional videos where one of these rollout events where they had people jumping out of a plane, parachuting from a plane, wearing Google Glass, and you see it. If you're sitting in the auditorium, it was in San Francisco in the Moscone Convention Center. They had an event there. They had an audience, and on the screen, you could see them jumping, and they land on top of the roof, and you really need to look at the video. And the way you look at the video is you go to my notes for this show. And again, it's prompopops.wordpress.com. And I have a number of videos that give you background information on Google Glass. The good, the bad, and to some extent funny or ugly. Now, the one thing that struck me, these are not cheap, folks. The Explorer, they call it it's sort of in prototype. This is not the mass-produced Google Glass. This is really to get feedback from users to see what type of, for example, what applications they would like, as well as the inputs on, you know, what do they like about it, what they didn't like about it. But one of the key functions is simply navigation. And it would be, for example, let's say you came to the campus today, and let's say you were walking in the hall of one building. You could say, please give me directions to Del Rio Computer Lab. And it would do a Google search and tell you, okay, walk down this hallway, take the elevator to the second floor, then continue walking down the hallway. It gives you left, right, or straight ahead type directions, as well as a map. Now, usually it's a map of the street. At some point, they really need to map the buildings as well as different floors, but it's the navigation aspects that I think are very useful, as well as the fact that occasionally you'd like to take a picture or even a short video. That I find useful. Now, today we have people using phones all the time, and this would probably be a wireless app to your Google. I'm trying to think of the, starts with an A. I don't use it, by the way. The Google browser. And they got a phone as well. Android, that's what I was looking for. Let's say you have an Android phone. It can make phone calls for you. You can say dial, let's say you have a list of your favorite friends, dial Susan. And it'll dial Susan, and you can say, hello, Susan. And you can actually stream the video. Well, that's the background. And there's some pictures of it that I have of the Explorer. You can get it in various colors. And what you do, what you'll get in the mail, is a frame with the glass technology on the side. What some people have done, and then what you do is you fit either clear lenses or sunglasses and just snap them in. But what people have done, and remember, this again is a prototype, and this is for early adapters. They're always going to be early adapters. Now, the problem I had with it is $1,600. Well, ladies and gentlemen, anyone knows me, I'm not going to pay $1,600 for this. I wouldn't even pay $1,600 for a regular pair of glasses. I have the same frames because they're excellent frames. I usually buy quality, and I find invariably if you go that route and take care of what you have, they hold up. I have both my sunglasses and my regular glasses are the same frame, and I bought this one when I was in the Air Force, when I lived in Fairborn. So that's a long time ago. I haven't been in the Air Force in decades, but that's when I got the frames. Now, is it the same glasses? Absolutely not, because for a long period of time, I used to wear contact lenses. And I still might go to that, but for various reasons, they became a pain. So at least for the last, 4 or 5 years, I've been wearing these glasses. And because as you get older, you're going to need reading glasses. So these are bifocals. And I think what will ultimately happen, they will have this technology where you could just snap on the technology to the side of the glasses that you own. I think that will be in the future, though. The way it works today, you get this frame, and they're fairly attractive with the technology. And what some people do is, especially if you wear glasses, is get prescription lenses that can fit in, snap in for this frame. And that's what people have done that have the $1,600 and that are early adapters. And like gadgets, you've met these people. I call them, you have control freaks. These are gadget freaks. They're the people that run out and buy the technology. Now, not all technology, but technology that you're interested in. Now, what am I leading up to? And why is this in the news? Because Google brought this out, I believe, and introduced the public to it in 2012. And I believe the Explorer, and I think they're up to 2.0, came out last year, in the middle of the year. And there's going to be upgrades. There are going to be software upgrades. And as well as at some future date, especially when they really perfect this, you're not going to be locked into this frame. What I think they will, and I'm just reading between the lines here, the technology that has the Google applications in it, you're going to need, obviously, you need memory, you need a computer, as well as the lens to display the information so you can look at it. And obviously, if you're looking through glasses, you don't want the display to interfere with your vision as you're walking or reading. But there are certain uses. You know, one obvious, there's a cute little video on how guys will use Google Glass. And I urge you to, I won't spoil it for you. And so some of the early adapters that are using this, they've put on some videos, and I have a selection of them, as well as some tongue-in-cheek videos, and they're all available for your viewing pleasure, but to really give you some background. Now, what's the news story? Apparently, a gentleman and his wife that live in Columbus, Ohio, have gone to the movies, and I forget the movie. I think it's AMC, but I could be wrong. I got the story here. They went to a shopping center, when I don't go to the movies that often, but when I do, I go to North Park typically. Actually, I go to two places, depending on where the movie is being presented. And it's usually an AMC chain where they have as many as a dozen or more movies. It's one of these multiplex theaters. And what I usually do is go on a weekday in the morning because it's cheaper. For $6, you can watch a movie that's in wide release. And I usually have at least a dozen or more movies to select from. Well, apparently this couple, husband and wife, have gone to this theater, and the gentleman actually got prescription glasses for this frame that also has Google Glass. And according to him, this was the third time he had gone to the theater. And the reason why he uses this is very simple. There is eyeglasses. And he's gotten so used to having Google Glass that he just uses it. It's his regular pair of glasses. Well, he went to the movie, and this was, I think it was Ryan. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. It was the AMC Theater in the Easton Mall in Columbus, Ohio. So I think this is for real, and apparently it does check out. Initially, I was somewhat skeptical, because anyone can say anything, and I'll tell you why. He was seeing, the movie he was seeing was Shadow Recruit. You know, Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. And he was wearing these prescription glasses when someone with a badge flashed the badge. Looks like I have to wrap it up, so I will wrap it up. Flashed a badge. To make a long story short, he was detained for about 3 hours and questioned by the police, but not the local police. This was the FBI. And there's a moral to this story, because they kept asking questions, accused him of courting the movie. He protested. He said, no, listen, I turned it off. You could easily check. But there's a lesson. Here's my lesson. If this happens to you, ask two questions. The first question, am I under arrest? If they say yes, then say, I'm sorry, gentlemen, until I have a lawyer, I'm not asking any questions. If they say, no, you're not under arrest, you're being detained. I said, okay, I'm being detained. Until I have a lawyer, I'm not going to say anything. Because what's happened in this case is happening across the United States. You have police officers as well as the FBI that get very aggressive and go automatic, keeping asking you questions, 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 questions. Ask any attorney and they will tell you, shut up. They either have to arrest you or detain you. And then when you say, I demand a lawyer be here, they have to stop the questions. Because he kept on answering questions, he was detained for 3 hours. And he hadn't committed a crime. And frankly, I hope the gentleman sues the theater, because you have the industry association, I think, was behind this, as well as the movie The Chain. I think this gentleman has a good law case. Now, I'm not for suing people, but when I go out, for example, to a movie, I don't want the cops first embarrass me in the theater and then pulling this kind of nonsense. They were out of line. It's that simple. They were out of line. If they were smart, they would have waited till he came out and then questioned him. But they didn't really understand the technology. And that just brings up the problem with Google Glass. This is a new technology, and with any new technology, most people are just not going to be familiar with it, including law enforcement. So this is a breaking story. I'll continue it tomorrow at between 4 and 5. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Now back to the music.